Thanks very much. Today we're looking at John 11, John's Gospel, chapter 11. So as we turn to John chapter 11, I'll just talk about how on previous visits that I've made, we have looked at various I am statements of the Lord Jesus Christ made in the book of John. For example, in John 6 verse 35 and verse 48, we read how he says, "I am the bread of life. Those who come to the Lord Jesus Christ find enough in him to satisfy their spiritual hunger forever." Then in John 8 and verse 12 and in John 9 and verse 5 he says, "I am the light of the world." You see, this world is in the darkness of sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, delivers us from the darkness of sin. And without him there is no guidance along life's way. In the Lord Jesus Christ there is meaning of life, and those who accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour no longer walk in darkness but have the light of life. Also in the third I am is in John 8 verse 58, where it says, "Before Abraham was, I am." Here the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking as the God of Abraham. He proclaims that he is the ever living Christ who came into this world as our Redeemer. In John 10 verse 9, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the door." And this tells us that salvation can only be received through the Lord Jesus Christ, not through our own works or any way. We must enter in only through the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power in which he gives. This invitation is for anyone. And the statement tells us that to be saved, we must enter in, not to remain outside. It tells us we must receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, by a personal act, and that without it there is no salvation. In John 10 verse 9, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the good shepherd." The Lord Jesus Christ presents himself as the good shepherd who laid down his life for we, the lost sheep. Another I am, in John 14 verse 6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The Lord Jesus Christ makes it clear here that he is the only way to heaven. He tells us that he is the way. Salvation is through him and him only. Nobody comes to the Father except through him. It's not by our own efforts to earn salvation through good works, but only through the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is the truth, the very embodiment of truth. Those who have the Lord Jesus Christ have the truth, and it is not found anywhere else. The Lord Jesus Christ is also the life. He is the source of life, both spiritual and eternal. Those who receive the Lord Jesus Christ will have eternal life because he is the life. Romans 6 verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Another I am in John's Gospel, we read how the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the true vine." In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was depicted as a vine planted by Jehovah, but the nation proved unfaithful and unfruitful. But here the Lord Jesus Christ presents himself as the true vine. He was going to be the witness for God in the world and bear fruit for him. In John 11, verse 25, we have another I am. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And this is where we're going to focus our attention this evening on this I am. So it's in John chapter 11. I'll just read the story. It's the story of how the Lord Jesus Christ raises Lazarus from the dead. So we'll start from verse 1. "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick.' When Jesus heard that, he said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou hither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then Jesus came, when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Then when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came unto her, he groaned in his spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee, if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which I stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, Loose him, and let him go. Say amen. May God bless the reading of his precious word, the story of Lazarus how the Lord Jesus Christ raised Lazarus. So in this passage we see the raising of Lazarus. Here we have a picture of one who has spent years in sin and is utterly corrupt and beyond human hope. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ came and raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days had gone by. Lazarus was dear to the Lord Jesus Christ and lived in Bethany with his sisters, as we see Mary and Martha. In verse 14, we see the Lord Jesus Christ tell his disciples openly that Lazarus is dead. However, for believers, death is compared to sleep. In verse 17 and 18 of John 11, we read, "Then when Jesus came, he found that he had been laying in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off." it says here we see the Lord Jesus Christ. He arrives with his disciples, and there we have it. Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. The Lord Jesus Christ had sent a promise to the two sisters in verse 4, and here we see how they received it. It says in verse 19, "And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." We see in Scripture that Mary and Martha were quite different in their personalities. Martha was the worker, the active one, and Mary, she was the contemplative one, who sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and listened to his word. Martha, as we see in verse 22, affirms her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see the Lord Jesus Christ has promised her that her brother would rise again. In verse 23 and verse 24, he says, "Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again." And Martha, we see, says, "saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day." Here, the Lord Jesus Christ was referring to the immediate situation. However, Martha interpreted his words to mean the future resurrection in the last day. We then see how in verse 43 of the chapter we've read, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to command with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth," and we see how he that was dead did indeed come forth. Referring to this resurrection at the last day, this is referred to in John 5, verse 24 to 29. And this is where the sermon will focus. So if we'll just turn a few chapters back to John chapter 5, verse 24. And I'm going to start reading from verse 24 because of the great gospel truths in which this verse contains. John chapter 5, verse 24, it says, "Verily, verily," the Lord Jesus Christ says, "verily, verily, I say unto you, hear that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." So just that's the passage. The first verse, 24, I've included that. I just want to expound a little on verse 24. It's one of the favorite gospel verses in the Bible. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ begins verse 24 by saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." You see, he is speaking to you and to I in a very personal way. Only in John's gospel do we find this double verily. It always introduces a truth of tremendous importance. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he who hears my word." So it's more than just listening to the message through one ear and it going out the other. You must receive the message. You must believe the message and obey it. Perhaps there is somebody listening even on the internet ministry, but you're not doing anything about the gospel message. You're listening with an outward ear, but do not hear in the heart. Well, you must accept the Lord Jesus Christ and his teachings about salvation and believe he is indeed the Savior of the world. Have you heard this word? It also says, "He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life." There's many that believes there is a God, yet have not been converted. In order to be saved, you must believe that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world to be our Savior, to have everlasting life. You must believe he is the only Savior and that sins can only be put away through his work at Calvary. It says, "And believes in him who has sent me hath everlasting life." Hath everlasting life. Yes, it's something you can have right now. Every believer here and now possesses life, eternal life. Ironside states that the very life of God is communicated to those who trust the word of God. It says, it goes on to say, "And believes he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation." You see, those who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are free from judgment because the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for sins at Calvary. God does not require the payment of the penalty twice. The Lord Jesus Christ has paid it as our perfect sinless substitute. He has finished the work at Calvary and nothing can be added to a finished work. Those who put saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will never see eternal punishment for their sins. It says they shall not come into condemnation but is passed from death unto life. You see, upon accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you will go from a state of spiritual death into spiritual life. When you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be made righteous in God's sight through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for our sins at Calvary. Romans 5 and verse 21, it says, "That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." He is the way to eternal life. We see in this passage, in John chapter 5, a reference to two resurrections. Verse 25, it begins with a second "verily, verily." It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is not speaking in this verse of the physically dead, but rather of the spiritually dead, of those who are dead in trespass and sins. That without salvation, we would all be dead in trespasses and sins. Death, it passed upon all men when Adam sinned, and a dead man cannot do anything to change their condition. At work, we practice CPR. It's basically giving chest compressions and rescue breaths to special mannequins made from plastic. You see, these mannequins, they simulate somebody who has perhaps had suffered a cardiac arrest and is in need of urgent CPR. We practice putting electrodes on them to shock them back into life. You see, just in case something like that ever does happen in our place of work, we have to be ready to almost give life to somebody who can do nothing of themselves to regain their life, their consciousness. And like these lifeless mannequins that we practice on, like these lifeless mannequins, we cannot help ourselves. You see, if you are dead in trespasses and sins and you want to live, you must receive life through another, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 25, we see it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is now is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear his voice, hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." We know that the hour began when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, and the hour of salvation is now for anybody listening who does not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. The second part of 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." The time is now for dead souls to be brought to life, for men and women to find eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Won't you hear his voice and repent, turn from sin, and know what it is to have eternal life through receiving this gospel message? The Lord Jesus Christ says, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God." The voice of the Lord Jesus Christ is a voice of power. It is a voice of resurrecting power. It is a voice that can reach to the heart, even to those dead, to anything holy. The story we read in of Lazarus, it gives us an example of this power. Lazarus, he was physically dead, and the Lord Jesus Christ came to the graveside and said, "Take ye away the stone." And then we then read how Martha had responded. She said, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." But then we saw in the passage how the Lord Jesus Christ commanded them to do as he said, and they did. And he called in John 11 verse 43, "Lazarus, come forth." And indeed Lazarus came forth. That dead man heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that voice is a life-giving voice. Yeah. Once again, if there be anyone listening who is dead, even over the internet, anybody listening who is dead in trespass and sin, won't you hear that life-giving voice of the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as Saviour? He says in John 10, verse 10, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. John 10, the same chapter, of verse 27 and 28 says, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." The Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is inviting you to come. Won't you hear the voice of the Son of God? There is life in his word. We see they that hear, as it said in verse 25, they that hear shall live. Yeah, they that hear, they that hear, okay, so they that hear shall live. We could do nothing in ourselves to deserve life, and we cannot please God until we have received it. It says in Romans 6, again verse 23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." We cannot obtain this life through our own good works or through sacraments. We cannot earn our own salvation by attending church or giving money to charity. These things are fruits of our salvation, but they're not the root of salvation. We receive life through hearing and believing the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Isaiah 55 verse 3, "Hear, and your soul shall live." Have you heard his voice? The Lord Jesus Christ, he has been inviting souls to be saved all through this age. Many turn down this invitation and go on in their sins, continuing in a state of spiritual death. But the moment you hear that voice, believing in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, that moment you receive life. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation is by faith alone. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This life is given by the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 5, verse 26 to 27, it says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. The Bible says, if men refuse the message of the gospel and turn away from the word of the Lord Jesus Christ and spurn his grace, then the same God who made the Lord Jesus Christ a giver of life to all who believe has appointed him as judge of those who refuse him in the last day. The Father has given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him the authority to execute judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ says in verse 22 of this chapter, he says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Scripture declares that it is God who will judge the world. God will sit upon the great white throne and call sinners before him to answer for the guilt of rejecting the salvation that he has provided. The Lord Jesus Christ will appear on that throne. The Lord Jesus Christ has authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross at Calvary and provided the way for us that we, should we accept him as Saviour, can escape appearing before him at the great white throne of judgment. It says in 1 Timothy verse 2 verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. If men refuse to trust that blessed man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore our sins in his own body on the tree, they will be judged according to their works. In order that this might not be, the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. It says in Isaiah 53 verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. If you choose to refuse the Lord Jesus Christ and the offer of salvation, one day you will have to meet him. On that day you will have to face him while still in your sins, when it is too late to be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ, who gives life and provided for us the way of salvation, will have to be your judge. The Lord Jesus Christ, he goes on to speak of another hour, that is the hour of the resurrection of dead bodies. It says in verse 28 and verse 29 of this chapter 5, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So it is not just Lazarus the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to resurrect. All that are in the graves shall hear his voice. And you might ask, how can this be? Because billions have died all through the ages, and their bodies have perhaps now been dissolved, and many, many people have been cremated or have been scattered across the countryside. You might ask, how can they come back to life? Well, Luke 1 verse 37, it says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. He created all these wonderful bodies, which are amazingly complex, and there will be a resurrection, both of the saved and the unsaved. There will be two resurrections. I was at a meeting once where the speaker claimed both resurrections would take place in the same moment. However, Scripture shows that there will be two resurrections. There will be the rapture, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns for believers. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 to 17 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the first fruits of the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 to 22, it says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." The first resurrection, it's a resurrection unto life, which is the resurrection of the just. It says in Revelation 20, verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Then we read that after the 1,000 years are expired, there will be the resurrection of those who have died without accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, who will stand before the great white throne for judgment. So we see two resurrections. One, the resurrection to life of the just, and one resurrection to the second death of the unjust. Speaking of just, the just and the unjust, let us remember 1 Peter 3, verse 18, where it says, "For Christ hath also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was sinless, he suffered for our sins. It says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, "The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Through his death and resurrection, he can bring us to God. John 1, verse 29, it says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He was quickened. He was made alive by the Spirit. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, has conquered death. The Lord Jesus Christ, he rose from the dead. His resurrection was through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he won the victory over death, hell, and Satan. In John 5, in verse 29, we read, it says, "And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Some reading this verse might ask, well, is a person saved then because they do good, and lost because they do evil? Well, we know we cannot gain our salvation through good deeds, because even our good deeds are not good enough to outweigh our sins. As we've seen, salvation is a gift from God, received only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we have all sinned. The Bible says in Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There is no one that can say they are sinless, because the only sinless one was the Lord Jesus Christ. And right now, souls are lost because they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, who says in John 3, verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You see, our eternal destiny is determined by the attitude we take towards the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who trusts the Saviour is not condemned, but the one who does not trust him, who believeth not, is condemned already. The Lord Jesus Christ has finished the work of salvation, and now it is up to each one of us, each individual, to decide whether they will accept him or reject him. It is a terrible thing to reject the greatest gift we can receive, the gift of love, the gift of salvation. If somebody will not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God can do nothing else but condemn them. If you refuse the work of the cross, if you turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you and for me, then the merits of that wondrous work that was done on Calvary can never be applied to you. In the day of resurrection, you will come forth from the dead as one who has done evil, and you will be judged for your sins. Salvation, we see, it's not based on human merit. Romans 4, verse 4 to 5, it says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Yes, believe on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who justifies the ungodly. Put your faith and trust in him. We must come as guilty sinners and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5 verse 8, it says, "But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Acts 16:31, it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." There are two ways to live, and there are two ways to die. There are two resurrections, and following these two resurrections, there will be two destinies. And perhaps if you're listening, you're hearing over the internet even, and you're listening. Maybe ask yourself: have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If so, death for you will mean to die in the Lord, and you will be raised in the first resurrection to enter into the blessings of heaven. However, on the other hand, if you continue to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, then the day will come when you will one day die in your sins, because it says in Hebrews 9 verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." Those who die in their sins will stand in the judgment and will be left in their sins through all eternity. In order that this might not be, the Lord Jesus Christ came to Calvary, and there he gave himself a ransom for you and for me. Yes, he is the resurrection and the life. In fact, at the end of John's Gospel, in John 20, verse 31, it says, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." The Lord Jesus Christ, he says in John 6, verse 37, "And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." He goes on to say in verse 40 of John 6, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." It is God's, the Father's, will that all men be saved. First Timothy 2, verse 3 to 4 says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth." He's not willing that anybody should perish, nor to face the great white throne of judgment. 2 Peter verse 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The Bible teaches that there's only one way to heaven, and that is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." We must admit, you see, that we're sinners, because it is written there's none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3, verse 10. And we must be willing to turn from sin. This is known as repentance. God commands all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17, verse 30. And you must believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead, and through prayer, invite him into your life to become your personal Saviour. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is calling you to begin a wonderful new life with him. 1 John 5, verse 12, it says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." There can be no mistakes. You won't find eternal life through anything else, not through any other religion or vain philosophy of man. True life, eternal life, cannot be found else in anywhere else but by the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we see, have seen today through this message, how the voice of power of the Lord Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead. Will you, perhaps if you're listening, will you hear that voice of the Lord Jesus Christ and have everlasting life. The Bible, it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You see, Satan is the one who has the power of death, and by sin came death. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one that has the power to deliver from sin and from death itself. He is declared to be the Son of God with power by resurrection of dead persons. He is still the same, and he delights to impart life to all who hear his voice. Will you hear his voice this evening? And may God bless the message of the gospel and the reading of his precious word. We're going to finish by starting to sing in Redemption Songs, number 170.